Daf Lamed Dalet. So the Mishnah starts off, a Shliach Tzibor who skipped a bracha, and he's not able to go back to where he skipped, he gets all confused, so we switch him out for someone else. And that person who we ask shouldn't refuse, and he should pick up from the beginning of the bracha that the original Chazan skipped. So we said that the Shliach Tzibor shouldn't say Amen to Birchas Kohanim, because then he's going to get confused of what they're up to. And we said that if he's the only Kohen, then he should not duchen. Because, again, we're worried that he's going to get confused. But if he's confident that he'll be able to duchen and everything and not get confused, then he's allowed to do it. The Gemara says that if you're asked to be the chazan, you should refuse. If not, you're like a food without salt. However, if you refuse too much, then you're a food with too much salt. So how do you do that? What's the process for refusing? That the first time you're asked to be the chazan, you should outright refuse. The second time, you should start to get up a little bit. And the third time you're asked, you should go up and be the chazan. And that's why we said that there are three things that are bad if there's too much of them, but a little of them is good. And those three things are salt, yeast, and refusal. Ravuna says that if you make a mistake in the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei, you should go back to the beginning. If you make a mistake in the middle section, you should go back to Atachonein. And if you make a mistake in the last three brachos, then you should go back to Ritzei. However, Rav Azi says the middle brachos have no order. Meaning, so instead of going back to the beginning and starting from Atachonein, you could just say the bracha that was skipped wherever you're up to because there's no set order, so it doesn't matter. And Rav Sheshes challenges Rav Huna because of the brisa that says that you should go back to the bracha that you skipped. So this straight up disproves Rav Huna, who says that you have to go back to the beginning. So Rav Huna will answer you that the entire middle section is all considered one bracha. And so when it says go back to the bracha that you skipped, it's talking about going back to the beginning. Rav Yehuda says that you can't make any requests in the first and last three brachos, only in the middle, because Rav Chanina, who says that it's like a slave speaking to his master, that first he comes and he praises the master, and then he's going to beg the master for what he wants, and then after he's going to thank the master and leave. So a Shliach Tzibor was once davening before Rabbi Lazar, and he was davening this very, very long tefillah, and the Talmidim complained. So Rabbi Lazar says, oh, is he davening longer than Moshe, who davened for 40 days? Another Shliach Tzibor was davening before Rabbi Lazar, and he was davening too short. So again, his Talmidim complained. And Rabbi Lazar says, what, is he davening shorter than Moshe, who said, Kel na refa na la, when he was asking for Miriam to be healed from her tzaras? And Rav Chista says, we actually learned that if you're davening for a refua for someone, you don't have to say their name, which we see from Moshe, who said, Kel na refa na la. He didn't say Miriam's name explicitly. So we talk about the obligation to bow in Shemona Esrei, and we said you bow at these brachos. You bow for the first bracha at the beginning and end of the bracha, and for modim at the beginning and end of that bracha. If you wanted to bow at every single bracha, then that's not something you should do. We quote Shimon ben Pazi in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi in the name of Bar Kafra, that this applies to a regular person who should bow like this. However, a Kohen Gadol should bow at the end of every single bracha, and a king should bow at the beginning and end of every single bracha. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani says, no, that's not what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says. I heard him say that this applies to a regular person, but a Kohen Gadol should bow at the beginning of every single bracha, and a king should bow at the beginning and stay bowed until the end, which we see from Shlomo. So we go through different types of bowing. Kida is where you bow on your face. Kriya is where you bow on your knees. And Hishtachave is where you have your arms and legs fully prostrated on the ground. Rav Chiya bar Rav Huna says that he saw Abaye and Rava who were just leaning on their sides for Tachanun as opposed to being to fully bowing. We quote two brises. One says that if you bow at the bracha of Hodah, which is Modim, then you're considered praiseworthy. It's good. But another brisa says that if you bow at Hodah, then it's blameworthy, it's a bad thing. So we answered that if you bow at the beginning of the bracha, that's a good thing. However, if you bow at the end of the bracha, that's considered the bad thing. However, we know that Rava would bow at the beginning and end of Modim because Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes did it. So how could they do that? So the answer is that it's good to bow at Modim. However, it's bad to bow at the Hodah in Hallel, which is Hodu Lad Hashem Ki Tov. That you shouldn't bow at. But we have a brace that says that you should not bow at Hodah and the Hodah in Hallel. So clearly the other Hodah can't be talking about the Hodah in Hallel. So what's it talking about? The answer that you shouldn't bow at the bracha of Hodah in benching, which is No Delicha. The next Mishnah says that if you're davening and you made a mistake privately, then that's a bad sign for you. But if the Shliach Tzibor is the one that made a mistake, then that's a bad sign for the entire community because of the principle of Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso. The agent that you appoint is like yourself. So since the community appointed him to be the Chazan, it's clearly a bad sign for the entire community. Reb Chanina ben Dosa would daven for the health of other people, and he would say, oh, this one's going to die, this one's going to live. And they said, how do you know that? And he said that, I know that if my tefillah flows my mouth, it comes out naturally and smoothly, then I know that my tefillah is going to be answered. But if not, then I know it's rejected. The Gemara says, what kind of error are we talking about in your brach, in your Shmona Esrei? That would be a bad sign. So the student of Rebbe answered that it's if you make a mistake in the first brach of Avos. But some teach this answer on a different brisa. That there's a brisa that says that you have to daven with kavana, but if you can't, you should at least have kavana for one bracha. And Rebbe's student answers that one bracha is talking about the first bracha of Avos. So we're going through the thing with Rebbe Chanina ben Dosa that he would daven and he would know if they were going to be healed or not. Rebbe Yehoshua ben Levi brings the pasuk that proves that tefillah flowing freely from your mouth proves that the person will live or die or not. Rabbi Yochanan says that all rewards that were promised by the Nevi'im are only for someone who marries their daughter to a Talmud Chacham and someone who does business for a Talmud Chacham and brings benefit to them. But the Talmud Chacham themselves is going to get an even greater reward. Rabbi Yochanan says that the reward that the Nevi'im were talking about is for the times of Mashiach. But Olam Haba, it's going to be an even greater reward. And this disagrees with Shmuel, who says that the only difference between now and Mashiach is just that in the times of Mashiach, there will be Jewish independence. Rabbi Yochanan says that the reward that the Nevi'im were talking about is for Baalei Tshuva. However, the Tzaddikim will have an even greater reward. And this argues with Rabbi Abahu, who says that Baalei Tshuva are actually greater than Tzaddikim, because there's a pasuk that talks about people getting rewarded, and first it says the Rechokim, who are the far people, which we assume to be the Baalei Tshuva, and then after saying the far people, it says the Krovim, who are the closer people, which we assume to be the Tzaddikim. Rabbi Yochanan would understand that pasuk as saying, what's a Rechok? It's not the people that are far away, the Baalei Tshuva. No, it's the people that were always far from sin, which is the Tzaddikim, and Karov is not the people that are close to Tzaddikim. Rather, Karov is the people that were originally close to sin, and now they're far away from sin, which is the Baalei Tshuva. What is this pasuk of Ayin Lo Ra'asa? No eye has seen. What is that pasuk talking about? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says it is the wine that's been preserved in its grapes since the 6 days of creation. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says it's talking about Eden, that no eye has ever seen, no one has ever seen Eden. And we said, what are you talking about? Adam was in Gan Eden. Adam and Chava, obviously, they saw Gan Eden. And we said, no, Gan and the Eden are two separate things. And that's why we have a pasuk that says that there was a Nahar, a river, that flowed from Eden to the Gan, proving that they are two separate things. Adam was in the Gan, but no one ever saw the Eden. Rabbi Gamliel's son got very sick, so he sent people to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa to daven for him. So they got there, and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa davened, and he said, all right, yeah, he doesn't have a fever anymore, he's healed. And they said, how can you know? And he said, well, my tefillah flowed smoothly from my mouth, so I know that I was answered. And so they wrote down the exact time that this happened, and these people came back to Rabbi Gamliel, and they told him exactly what happened, what time it was. He said, oh my God, that's exactly what happened. At this exact time is when he got better. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son got sick, so he asked Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa to daven for his son. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa sat down, put his head between his knees, and started davening. And then he said, all right, your son is healed, and he got better. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I could have put my head between my knees all day long, and I wouldn't have been answered. His wife said to him, does that to say that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is greater than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, is greater than you, who's the Nasi, the Gadol HaDor, the head of the generation? And he said, no, it's not to say he's greater than me, but Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa devotes his entire life to praying for the sick people. And I don't have time to, you know, daven like that. I spend all my time taking care of the communal affairs and disseminating Torah and paskening things and things like that. I'm more focused on helping the community in that aspect. Rabbi Yochanan says you should only daven in a house with windows. Rabbi Kahana says that it's arrogant to daven in an open field. And Rabbi Kahana says it's arrogant if somebody walks around telling everyone about their sins. Hadron Allah. Ein omdim shkayach to everyone. I'm finishing the fifth parak. We'll pick up with the sixth parak tomorrow. Shkayach.